Welcome to the Elite Life Church podcast. We pray this message strengthens your faith and helps equip you for living the life God created you to live. Connect with us online at elitelife.church. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, that your word is truth. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. I ask that our love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that we approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. I am who the Word says that I am.
I am who the Word says that I am.
I do what the Word says to do.
I do what the Word says to do.
And I have what the Word says that I have.
I choose to open my heart
to receive everything the Lord has for me today. Today, I'm continuing the series, Your Real ID. In my last message, Salt Life, we talked about our identity as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are salt and light, and it's important to remember this and live as salt and light throughout our day, even with our own families, thinking, how can I be light to my siblings, to my children, to my spouse? How can I be salt? How can I push them to be closer to the Lord? How can I serve them to demonstrate kingdom living, kingdom life? Whoever you're around throughout your day, be salt and light. Philippians 2:12-16 from the ESV. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 12, I think it's interesting that Paul is telling believers to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. We need to take our salvation seriously. We need to take our relationship with the Lord seriously. Don't just go about thinking, I'm a Christian, that's it. It's like, no, Paul is instructing these believers to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Our focus is on our relationship with the Lord, realizing that as we focus on the relationship with the Word, with the Lord, through that, it is God that then works in us both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So we don't start by thinking, what do I have to do for God? What do I have to do? That comes from God, the will to do his purpose, and knowing what it is comes out of relationship. So our whole focus has to be on relationship with the Lord, and out of that flows everything else. Verse 14 says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. We shared part of this scripture last week, but I want to share a little more of it this week, or last message. I want to share more of it in this message, because among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. We have got to hold fast to the word of life, to the word of God. In this series, we've been learning that our identity is rooted in Christ. Christ is the word made flesh. Jesus is the word of God made flesh. Jesus said in John 14:6 that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. The word is the way, it is the truth, and And it's where we get our life from. John 17, 3 says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." It is through the scriptures that we develop our relationship with the Lord. That is where we get our life from. And as our foundational scripture has been John 17, 17, "Sanctify," or "set them apart in the truth. Your word is truth." It is the word of God, the truth, our relationship with Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, all coming together, that we are to live our life out of and build our life upon. The words where we come to know God and develop relationship, thereby understanding who we were created to be. Every single person has a longing to know what they were created for. Deep down on the inside of everyone, there's a longing to understand what their purpose is, why they were created. And we find that purpose in the Word. As I think about the Word being the foundation that we are to build our life on, it makes me think that this past week, I saw a handful of videos about some of the new AI that's out, where people were figuring out how to put in prompts where they would write text and tell AI what video to create. And then they would put together those videos to create a short movie slash clip with different AI generated clips. And they looked very realistic, but quite a number of people were putting together videos joking about the quote-unquote prompt theory, where the characters in the video would be like, "What? We're just prompts? Really? We just came from you typing and here we are?" And it made me think, in one of the videos, there's this guy standing in an airport with these red eyes with tears rolling down, looking into the camera. And you see a family walking away, boarding an airplane behind him. And into the camera, he says, "You could have prompted me to go with my family, but instead you prompted me to be left behind." And he's got these tears rolling down his face. I saw another clip where this person is sick and in bed saying, "You could have prompted me to be healthy, but you prompted me to be sick instead." And another clip, similarly focused on talking to the person prompting, or the video saying, "You could have done this, but instead you did this to me." And I thought, man, I am so glad that that's not the way God operates. See, what God does is he gives us prompts to live our life by, if you will. He gives us the word of God, the truth that we are to build our life upon. Every single person is living a life that's based on someone's prompts. And I know we don't think about it like that, but who is writing the script to your life? Who is writing your programming when you got up this morning? Who was programming the way you walked about your day, what you did today, how you started your day out? When you get done here, what are you going to do? And what's that based on? What thoughts are you thinking that's creating the actions that you're taking? In Proverbs 16:25, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." There's a lot of people that are going by prompts that seem like they're the right prompts, running after the things of the world. But because they're not basing their life on the truth of the Word of God, the source code for life, because they're not basing their life upon that, the end of where they're going is death. Proverbs 9:3 says, "When a man's folly brings his way to ruin, his heart rages against the Lord." There's a lot of people yelling at God like he's the prompt maker in their life, but the fact is they haven't been following his prompts. They've been following someone else's prompts. They've been following the prompts of the enemy. They've been following the nightly news. They've been following the garbage thoughts they've allowed to invade their mind through the music they listen to and the books they've read and the TV shows they've watched and the things that they've done. And they've let those prompts lead their life. And then in the end, they rage against God like he's the prompter of their life. Look, see, we do have free will. And because of that, we get to choose if we're going to base our life upon the truth of the word that doesn't make sense in the natural. A lot of things in the word of God go against our natural reasoning. But it's the only way to life. It is the truth that we have got to base our life on. Today is part 16, your real ID. I've titled today's message, Blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? When you think of the word blessed, what do you think of? The American Heritage Dictionary defines blessed as an adjective, worthy of worship, holy, held in veneration, revered. Blessed, the Roman Catholic Church, used as a title before the name of one who has been beautified. Bringing happiness, pleasure, or contentment. And then it could be used as an intensive, such as, I don't have a blessed dime, is the illustration the American Heritage Dictionary gives, which would be speaking a curse over your life, actually. Looking at that, you can see there's a pretty wide range, even in the American definition, going from worthy of worship to happiness, pleasure, contentment. Those are very different. In the Bible, there are a number of Hebrew and Greek words that can be translated into forms of bless, blessed, blessing, etc. We're not going to cover all of them today because there's a lot. But I want to talk today about being blessed. One of the common places people think of when they think in the Bible talking about being blessed is the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus gives the Beatitudes. In Matthew 5, 2 through 11, it says, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. That word, blessed, is an adjective meaning blessed, happy, fortunate. It describes a state of inner well-being and divinely favored happiness, independent of outward circumstances. It signifies a profound and lasting happiness that comes from God. So in this particular blessedness, it's not about material prosperity, but about a spiritual reality and God's favor. The key here is whatever someone has, realizing that they are blessed because of the kingdom of God. Now, that's a different word for blessed than what we find in Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. I want you to count how many times I say the word blessed here with me. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6 says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. That was from the ESV. And the ESV in that passage, it has the word blessed four times. And you know what? Every single one of those times is a different Greek word. The first word is an adjective that is describing God. This particular adjective is only used to describe God or Jesus, and it's an adjective that means worthy of praise. It means adorable. Now, not in the sense of a little baby where you're like, oh, look, they're so adorable. But in the sense of God is worthy of our adoration. He is worthy of our praise. The next one, who has blessed us in Christ, it's a verb to speak well of, to bless. It means to speak a good word. When God does it, when God speaks a good word, it causes us to prosper, or it bestows blessings or favor upon us. It is a spoken blessing, a good word. And this is a very common word for blessed, where one blesses another, where God blesses us. And he has blessed us in Christ, is what it says in this case. And that is the verb. The next one is with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. This is the noun version of the word. This particular noun can be used to describe a divine blessing, a spiritual or material benefit bestowed by God. It can be the act of offering praise to God, such as in Revelation 5:12, worthy is the Lamb to receive blessing. So you're giving praise to God with this noun. Or it could be a generosity or a gift that even one could give to another, such as in 2 Corinthians 9:5, where Paul's talking about financial sowing, and he uses the word your promised blessing, referring to a financial contribution. So it's a gift, basically. It's giving a blessing. What's interesting about these forms of blessing is their voice activated. They're spoken blessings. You know, if you think of the word that we derive from it, a eulogy, if you were to eulogize someone, you would say nice things about someone after their passing. You would say good things, speak good words over someone's life. That is to eulogize someone. That word comes from this. So it's speaking. Now, in the Bible, in the blessed case, it's not about his passing away. That's just how in the English we've taken it. But with a blessing that we receive, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. James 3:10 says, from the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. We should not be both blessing and cursing. As believers, we're not supposed to curse, speak negatively over people. Our job is to be speaking life over others and living life. Going back to the prompt theory, what words are you following for your daily life? Are you living a blessed life by following the blessed words of the Word of God? Now, the last version of the word blessed, that was the first three in that passage. The last one in Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. The New King James Version says, in which he has accepted us in the beloved. That particular word for blessed is only used two times in the New Testament. It comes from the word charis or grace. And the word means to grace, to endue with special honor, to make accepted, to be highly favored. It is a verb, so it's like bestowing grace or to endow with grace special honor. The only other place that particular word is used is in Luke 1:28, speaking of Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed one. Gracious one. We are blessed and favored by God. If we're born again, it means that we have the favor of God upon our life. Now, here's the distinction that I'll give with that. The grace of God, another word for grace is favor. So the grace of God, the charis of God that we operate in, It is the grace of God that has made salvation available to us. So the grace and the favor of God is not something that we've earned. It is bestowed upon us by God. The blessings, on the other hand, come as a result of that favor. What I want to show you today, the blessings are available to us, but they need to be received by faith. We have to choose to walk in them, choose to activate them in our life, choose to believe them in order to receive their benefits. The grace of God is available. It's like out there. He's chosen to bless us, but then we get to choose to receive the blessing. And in order to live in the benefit of the blessings of God, we need to know about them, for one, and for two, we need to receive them. So when we talk about being blessed, I'll show you what that means in a little bit and in our lives, in context of our lives. But what I want to take you to first is I want to show you that every single person was created to live a blessed life. God's design for humanity was for mankind to live in the blessing. The very first thing that God did after creating man was blessing man. We see this in Genesis 1:27 to 30. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the heavens and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. Do you notice there that it says God blessed and said? The blessing was what God spoke over them. The blessing bestows God's divine empowerment and provision to accomplish his assignment. The blessings God bestows on your life give divine empowerment and provision to accomplish the assignment that he has for you. But you've got to receive those blessings and act upon them. Just because the blessing's made available to us doesn't mean that we partake of it. This is why it's important that we spend time developing our relationship with the Lord and getting in the Word to know what's available to us. After God spoke the blessing over Adam and Eve, in Genesis chapter 3, we see man choosing sin over the blessing and sin entering the world. In Genesis 12, we see a major blessing spoken in God's covenant and relationship with Abraham that ultimately affects all the rest of the families of the earth. Genesis 12, 1 through 3 says, and the Lord said to Abram, again said to Abram, go from your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth are blessed through Abraham. Now, whether or not they partake of that blessing and experience the blessing of it is up to the people to choose to receive it. We see, going on a little bit later, the effects of the blessing. Abraham's son Isaac received the blessing from the Lord as well. The Lord showed up to Isaac in Genesis 26, 1 through 6. Now there was a famine in the land besides a former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land that I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land and I will be with you, and I will bless you. And it goes on, and he speaks about the blessings he's going to give to him. But what's interesting there is it says there was a famine in that land. There was a famine in the land that God told him to dwell in, to sojourn in. And he said, I will be with you and I will bless you. Now, when God speaks that blessing, Isaac had a choice. He can believe the word of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord on his life, or he can go, you know what? In the natural, there's a famine here. This is a terrible place to be. I'm going to go to Egypt. Thank God he didn't do that. He chose to believe God and stay there. In verse 12, we see, and Isaac sowed in that land and reaped the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy. He had possessions of flocks, herds, and many servants, so that the Philistines envied him. That was Genesis 26, 12 to 14. Why do I bring that out? The blessing was spoken upon his life, but he had a choice. Believe the blessing and stay and obey God, or go to Egypt. He chose to stay, and even though the land was suffering a famine, he sowed that year and reaped a hundredfold. The blessing of God on our life, you know, we look around today, and there's talks of tariffs and price increases and all kinds of things. Wherever we're at, if we are planted in the will of God, we will prosper if we choose to believe the truth of the word of God for our life. What God has spoken over our lives, when he tells us to do something in the word, when he tells us that we have his blessing upon us, when he tells us that he's our provider, and we choose to believe that and walk in it, it doesn't matter what's going on in the natural. What matters is the blessing of God on our life is real and tangible to allow us to prosper wherever we're supposed to be planted. It's important to know that you're in the will of God, but once you're in the will of God, man, follow it, follow the plan. In Genesis 27, we see when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so they could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son, and he answered, here I am. As the chapter goes on, we see that Jacob, the younger son, tricks his father who couldn't see into believing he was Esau so that he would receive the blessing. Going down to verse 26, then his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, so Isaac is getting ready to speak this blessing over Jacob, thinking he's speaking it over Esau. He blessed him and said, remember, the blessing is spoken. See the smell of my son is the smell of the field the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. In verse 30, it says, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, let my father arise and eat his son's game, that you may bless me. His father Isaac said to him, who are you? He answered, I'm your son, your firstborn Esau. Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it before you came, and I have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed. I always found it interesting reading that Isaac wasn't like, oh, wait, I gave it to the wrong person here. Let me tell him it's void and I'm going to give it to you instead. No, Isaac understood something. When a blessing is given by faith, it's given. When you speak in faith, it's out there. He wasn't able to go and revoke it and give it to someone else. It was given to him. Just as when God speaks blessings that are available to you, They are yours. They're available for your receiving. When God says it's done, it's done. When God speaks a good word over you, when God speaks blessing over you, when God says that you're healed, you're healed. When God says that you're prosperous, you're prosperous. When God said those things, we have to choose to receive them, as I'm going to show you. But when it's spoken, it's done when it's spoken in faith. In Genesis 27:38, verse 38 says, Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." Again, he was able to bless him, but with a different blessing, because he couldn't revoke or change what he'd already spoken in faith. How do we know that Isaac spoke that blessing in faith? Because the Bible tells us so. In Hebrews 11, 20 and 21, it says, "By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff." Now, as I mentioned, not only is a blessing given by faith, it's also received by faith. We see this in Galatians 3, 2 to 14. Let me ask you this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? A blessing spoken, we hear it, we receive it by faith. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and work miracles among you do so by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Verse 10, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law, and to do them.' Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree,' so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." Our real ID truth for today is Galatians 3:9, "I am blessed." Galatians 3:9, "So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." Why did I choose Galatians 3:9 instead of Ephesians and that passage about us being blessed? Because they're both amazing. The reason I specifically chose to use this one to pull, and we could have pulled the identity truth from either, because they both make it clear that we are blessed as believers. The reason I chose this one is because this one makes it clear that those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. It's a reminder for us that it is by faith that we receive the blessings. The blessings that are on our life, they're spoken in Ephesians chapter 1. Those are received by faith. You don't apprehend them until you choose to believe and put your trust in Jesus to receive his gift of life. Until you become born again, you don't partake of the blessings. Your real ID truths, the ones that you're getting here, Those are blessings. Understanding your identity, each one of these identity truths is a blessing from God. And understanding how it affects your life is how you unlock the benefits of that blessing. Galatians 3:9, so then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Proverbs 10:22 says, a blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of God is both spiritual and there's blessing in the natural. When we understand the blessings that are available to us, it allows us to do things differently, to make different decisions in what we're going to do, realizing that we have God's blessing and God's favor upon our life. In Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14 specifically, there is a whole list of the blessings of God. And for time today, we're not going to go through all of them, but I want to encourage you, go to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and read verses 1 through 14 to make yourself aware of the blessings that are available to you in the kingdom of God. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. This past week, I had the opportunity to go spend 4 days in Chicago. I went for a little getaway, and it was a real blessing. I went there because it's the anniversary of when God called me into ministry. Exactly 6 years ago is when I was in Chicago at the Trump Tower. I told the story in my previous series on hearing the voice of God, of being at Trump Tower and having God call me into ministry there. And as I was riding Metra train into Chicago, I got a notice from the hotel I was staying at with my room number, letting me know that my room was ready and here was my room number. My room number was 818. And as soon as I saw that, I got excited because I've been studying on this message, and immediately Deuteronomy 818 jumped out to me. And a reminder that it is the blessing of God that is on our life to have the provision to do everything in life that we're called to do. During that trip, I saw God's favor on my life as well. And here's one of the things, when you go through life and you understand the blessing of God, that you operate in the blessing of God, it allows you to think differently than a lot of people think. It allows you to think with blessing favor thoughts, seeing things going well for you as you walk in your purpose, as you walk in your calling. After staying at that hotel, I actually had two hotels booked out because I had a free night through Chase to stay at an IHG property. So I had selected the Intercontinental Hotel that was right downtown Chicago to stay there for one night to end my trip. So I checked out the one hotel I was at. I walked across town to go, when I say across town, I walked 4 or 5 blocks to go to the Intercontinental. And I was able to get there and check in early. And I'd asked if there was a chance that I could have a suite upgrade. I didn't book a suite, but I asked for it. And sure enough, they gave me an upgrade to a suite. I was like, man, thank you, Lord, for this blessing. So I went up to the room and it was gorgeous. The room was amazing. It was a 2-bedroom suite, 2 bathrooms, really, really nice. But here's the thing. I opened the window and my heart sank. I was hoping for an amazing city view, really hoping for a view of the clock tower overlooking the clock tower like I had 6 years previously from the Trump Tower, where I was able to see the clock tower at the Wrigley Building. When I opened the window, I was in the center of a hotel and had a very small window, it was a big window, but my view was pretty limited. There was really no downtown view from there. And the first thing I thought of was, you know, the most important view that we have in life is the one on the inside, not the one on the outside. And what do I mean by that? I mean, when we understand our identity in Christ, when we understand our purpose and our calling and where we're going in life, when you understand vision of where you're being led and the Lord begins giving you vision of where you're heading in life, the vision on the inside that you see is more important than what you're walking through in the natural. Because an inner vision that shows you the good plans of God can help you get through any situation. So I realized, even though it wasn't the view I'd been hoping for, I wanted to do some planning and writing and in the room, and I wanted to have an inspirational view on the outside, but I didn't have it, and I didn't want to complain. So I was like, okay, Lord, it's a beautiful room, and ultimately, the view on the inside is the most important. The room was lacking a desk. It didn't have a desk for me to write at, even though it was a gorgeous suite. There was a big old couch and sitting areas, but there just wasn't a desk to do some writing. I thought, well, I can sit on the couch. So anyway, I went out for the afternoon, had some dinner, did some writing at Starbucks, came back to the room, and I thought, oh, you know what? I want to run and look at the pool area because this hotel is supposed to have a great pool. So I went over to the pool area just to check it out because not a lot of downtown hotels have a big pool. So I go to the pool area, and they've got a window on the far side of the pool area. It's on a different side of the hotel than I'm at. I walk over to the window and look out, and sure enough, there's a view of the clock tower. I had been on the 23rd floor. This is on the 12th floor, and I'm looking up at the clock tower. And I got to say, I felt disappointed. I was like, okay, I really wish I had that view. And I went to write a thought down, and I forget what thought I had, but the thought that immediately came to me when I grabbed my phone to make a note was, if you don't like the view, change it. I thought, oh man, that is a great lesson in life. What areas in my life do I want to see change in as I'm working to grow through that? So I started thinking these thoughts as I'm walking back, thinking about different areas in my life that I want to, you know, set some goals for, set some adjustments on, and chart a little different course, knowing that I get to walk in the blessing of God. And as I'm doing that, I started thinking, wait a second, Lord, was that for my natural view? That, you know what? I've got the favor of God in my life. I might as well go to the desk and ask him. Now, I'd been at that room. They gave me the suite at like 2:30 in the afternoon. They gave me an early check-in, and here it is like 8:30 at night. So I went to the front desk and I just explained, hey, I was given a suite upgrade. It's beautiful, but it doesn't have the view that I'd really hoped for. I was hoping to have a clock tower view, and I don't have that view. Is it possible to give me a different room that has that view? And she says, well, let me look. She goes on her computer and comes back and says, yeah, you know what? I've got a room available. Now, it's a smaller room. Are you sure you want to change? I said, well, does it have a view of the clock tower? She said, yes. I said, what floor is it on? She said, the 27th. And I said, I'll take it. She says, do you need help with your luggage? I said, no, I can go get it. So I went back up to my room, got all my stuff, brought it back down. She swapped keys for me, gave me the new room. I walked in. It had the most amazing view of downtown. See, when we have the blessing of God on our life, it allows us to ask for things. It allows us to think differently. It allows us to go through things. It is the blessing and the favor of God in our life. And Megan and I have seen God's blessing working in our life so many times, from our finances to our marriage to our family to every area of our life. We have seen the blessings operating in us as we focused on building our life on the truth of the Word of God. The room had the most amazing clock tower views, the most amazing downtown views, views of Lake Michigan, views of the river. It was amazing. Had I not heard the Lord say, if you don't like the view, change it, and then had him encourage me to go ask about it, I would have, quote unquote, settled. I would have settled for the suite. It was still an amazing, gorgeous room. Either way, it was a blessing. But it was perfect. And there was a desk overlooking. They had three windows in the room looking out multiple angles of the city, and a desk sitting right in front of one of the windows overlooking Lake Michigan. It's quite fantastic. It is the blessing of God on our life that is available to each of us that we have got to choose to receive by faith and walk in. Understand that it is the blessing of the Lord that makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. It is blessing in order to accomplish what God has called us to do in life. As a matter of fact, it's real important as we understand the blessing, we run after God who provides the blessings and focus on that and not running after the blessing itself. People get into a trap when they go to chase after money or chase after riches instead of chasing after the one that can provide the provision that's needed to do everything we're called to do in life. In closing, our real ID truth for today, Galatians 3:9, I am blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Ephesians 3:1 through 6, we started here. I'm going to end here, and then we're going to go into a quick review of our previous real identity truths. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. We are blessed beyond our full comprehension. But let me encourage you, be seeking out the one who bestows the blessings. Be getting in the word to know the Lord. As you get to know him, allow him to speak over your life. Blessings are what's available to you. What he said is available to you are the blessings that you receive by faith. When God says it, you believe it and act on it. Does that make sense? We receive it and then we have to act on it. Whatever acting on it might be. In different blessings, it works differently. When the blessing talks about sowing and reaping, that when we give generously, we will receive back. That's a blessing that we can act on, but we don't enact it unless we choose to operate in that kingdom principle that's available to us. So whatever those blessings are that you're looking to work in your life, operate with them through faith. The real ID truths we've learned so far, Ephesians 3:17, I am rooted and grounded in love. Colossians 2:7, I am rooted in Christ. Colossians 2:10, I am complete in Christ. 1 John 4:11, I am loved by God as his beloved. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I'm the righteousness of God through Christ. Romans 8:16, I am a child of God. Ephesians 2:19, I'm a saint. Ephesians 2:10, I am God's masterpiece. Galatians 4:7, I'm an heir through God. 1 Corinthians 1:8, I am guiltless in Christ. Ephesians 2:6, I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. Psalm 139:1, I am known by God. Psalm 139:14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. 1 Thessalonians 1:4, I am chosen by God. Romans 8:30, I am called by God. 1 Corinthians 6:17, I am one spirit with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:19, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 5:4, I'm an overcomer of the world by faith. Romans 6:11, I am dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Matthew 5:13, I am the salt of the earth. Matthew 5:14, I am the light of the world. And Galatians 3:9, I am blessed. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we are blessed. I thank you that we are blessed in Christ, that we are blessed with these real identity truths, that we are blessed with the provision and everything that we need to accomplish what you've called us to accomplish. Father, I thank you for showing us how to enact the blessings in our lives, to walk in them by faith, so that we can do the good things that you called each of us to do. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your word is full of your blessings for us, full of speaking over our lives. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we line our lives up with the prompts that are in your word and not the prompts that come from the enemy, the prompts that come from negative thinking, the prompts that come from lies. Thank you, Father, that we line our lives up based on truth. Thank you that we take every thought captive and bring it into obedience to the truth of your word. And we build our lives upon your word. Father, I thank you for your amazing love for each of us. I thank you for your goodness in our lives. I thank you that you have provided every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places for us. I thank you that we learn to tap into each of those and you reveal them to us in the right season so we can enact them at the right time in our life to do everything that we're called to do. I thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is Pastor Tim Howe. Thank you for listening. For additional resources to help you live an elite life, visit EliteLifeMinistries.com.